God is waiting for you and me at the point of real movement. What does this mean? We've been saying it over and over again. What is the role that we have to play then? It's not all up to God. It's certainly not all up to us. It takes both God's ability and our own genuine willingness. You know, last week we talked about the analogy of the car. The challenge many of us are facing is that we have the car, but we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to drive it. And we don't know how to go where God wants us to go because we have not stepped out and acted in real movement. So what stops us? What prevents us from acting a real movement? We've received messages from so many people saying, I don't want to miss the boat this year. I want to receive what God wants me to receive. I want to step out in real movement. So what is stopping you? What's stopping me? So many people ask us, I want to step out in real movement. What's stopping me? What's preventing me? Why can't I? Testimonies overflowing. You're hearing them every week of people that acted on that word real movement. They stepped out and they actually received what God had planned for them this year. Don't miss out. We also want you to be blessed this year. We want you to step into the promise of God, the destiny of God, the blessing of God that God has designed for you. This year, 2025, we still have a few months left. It's time to catch the boat. So real movement, get ready.
Obedience is the only proof of our faith in God. That's the reason why God always tests our faith, tests our obedience. How can you test obedience when everything is fine? If I want to test your faith, I will command you to go where you don't want to go naturally.
And that's often where God wants to take us, isn't it?
God's wisdom is not our own. His ways are different from the ways of man. We all know. So now, if God gives you an assignment, God gives you a command, it may not be suitable to your flesh. God will always ask us to do what is impossible for us to do. Mm. And that's why we walk by faith. We move where it is convenient, where we have ability, where we have assurance. But God will take you to a place, on an assignment that is larger, bigger than you. You require faith or God's ability to perform it. That's why we said, everybody can read the Bible. Everybody can say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. The question, to what extent do you believe in God? Mm. To what extent do you believe in Jesus? We know you believe, Ruth, when your belief is tested. Mm. We know you truly believe when that belief is tested in the face of real situation. And Jesus said, the way is narrow. Mean narrow to the flesh. The flesh cannot go there. Jesus said, he wants to follow me. Carry your cross and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me.
There's often a huge gap between where we are and where God wants us to be. None of us want to end up our days and ask ourselves, oh, I could have been, I would have been, I should have been. You know, God has a destined promise for each and every one of us. We don't want to miss that. And I think we get that feedback from so many people that we speak to, don't we? That they just want to know God's will for their life. They don't want to miss out on the promise of God. They don't want to miss out on this blessing of real movement. How can they get to where God wants them to go?
The principle of God, right from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1-2, he set life and death in the front of Adam. The tree of life were there, and the tree that leads to death were there. The question, why did Adam choose the tree that brought death? And his legacy brought death to all men. Why in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the presence of suffering, Jesus Christ chose to take the cup of suffering and go to the cross and bring life to every one of us? Two attitude. God will always ask us to do what is impossible for us to do so we can rely on him, teach us how to do. That's the purpose of his spirit. Jesus have disciples he trained, he formed, he trained for so many years and tell him, go into all the nations. But before he go, he warned everybody. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I mean, there will be trial, there will be difficulties.
Jesus knew the troubles in this world would rob his followers of peace and cause their faith to fail. And that is why he's supporting us in prayer.
That's why when we say real movement, is a movement by faith. Faith is our movement towards God.
So that means you can't act real movement without faith.
The question is, what is faith? Today we confuse faith and belief. I can believe in something, But if I believe in something, I should obey it. The only proof of obedience is to act faith. So when you believe, it is your spirit that acts upon the word. You must obey the instruction. You must believe it and practice. God said to Abraham, Abraham, leave your father's house. Go to the land I will show you. Mm-hmm. Abraham left and entered real movement immediately without questioning God. When God said to Abraham, Genesis chapter 22, the test is faith. Take your son Isaac, whom you love, your only begotten son, and take him to one mountain and go and sacrifice it for me. Abraham woke up and set on motion in obedience without doubting anything. That's his real movement. But who will do that? If God instructs you to go to a place you don't want to go, what will you do? That's what the Bible says. A Christian must do what is right every time, even though it is contrary to what the flesh naturally wants to do. Now we talk about real movement. Why some people find it difficult to practice their faith? Today we saw many testimonies. People acted faith. We saw this year is the year of real movement. That's what the Spirit of God gave us last year. And we say, everybody, this is the year of real movement. The boat carrying the blessings is going on. You're waiting for people to jump inside the boat. How many are inside the boat today? And I say, it's never too late. Why some people give testimony? Some not. Sometimes we are too conditioned to believe that everything is all up to God. And we forget to understand that faith is a human act and a divine gift. I mean, we have a role to play. Faith is not all up to God. We act in obedience. We act in cooperation with God. That's good for you. God never sent an angel to preach the gospel. He sent human beings. And he knows that we are a weak vessel. He knows we are limited. He knows what he's doing. But he gave a promise. I will be with you. When Jesus gave the commission, warning everybody that trials are coming, but say, it is better for you, I go to the Father. Because if I go, I will send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit.
He will be with you forever.
Hallelujah. Why God sent the Holy Ghost to us? That's the question we need to answer.
Comforter.
If everything was easy, will God send a comforter, another comforter?
It's true. The helper.
Why we need a helper?
Because we need help.
Because we need, God will always ask us to do what is impossible. Love your enemy. Are you able to love your enemy?
No. Not without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Pray for those who persecute you. Are you able to do so?
No, not naturally.
And that's what God wants you to do. And this is where we miss the mark.
So that means even in the case of reaching God's promise for your life, it can take you to do something that naturally you might not want to do. So that can actually block people from receiving the God's promise for their life.
That means faith, to become faith, must never be for selfish reason. Our faith rests in God. Our faith rests on the finished work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whom do we follow? Jesus. If you say Jesus is Lord, what does it mean Jesus is Lord? I mean he's Lord of my faith. When you say, carry your cross and follow me, may we obey the commandment of Jesus. He chooses a direction and we follow him. We follow his commandment. We follow his law, the law of love. He's the Lord of your faith. He's the common center of our unity. That's why we believe in him, his word, and follow his word. That's why he trained disciples. Why do you have disciples? Disciples are called follower of Jesus, follower of his word. If you love me, keep my commandment. And that is the issue. Now, Jesus trained disciples for 3 years. He talked to them, teach them, and reveal everything to them. And one day he said to them, the time has come. I'm going to Jerusalem. They will arrest me. They will spit on me. They will kill me. In 3 days, I will rise. He said that. We know what Peter said. We have talked to him last time. But that was the purpose why Jesus came.
That was the real movement.
That's the real, why Jesus acted a real woman? Because Jesus understood the heart and the mind of God the Father.
I just want you to elaborate on what you just said a minute ago about faith should not be for selfish reasons, because I think that's so key.
Yes, I'm coming to that.
That faith should not be based on what we receive or on a promise or on a blessing. Faith has to be based only on the finished works of Jesus Christ.
Don't forget, to answer your question, we say, Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name. Mm. Thy kingdom come. This is the heart of God, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm. Thy will be done, the will of God. What is the will of God? Jesus said, the will of God is salvation. Mm. Salvation. Eternal life, not death. Blessings, not curses. That's the will of God for every human being.
Eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul.
Salvation. And that's the key. Everything we pray, we ask, must be based on the fact that Jesus came to die to restore the relationship and fellowship between man and God. Seek first my kingdom. Seek salvation. Anytime we come before God, when you mention for God's sake, asking for God's sake, praying for God's sake, obeying for God's sake, is for salvation. That's the heart of God, salvation of souls. Everything, the blessing you have, is for salvation of your soul. Your healing is for salvation of your soul. Everything God gives you is for salvation of your soul. That's why I say, seek first my kingdom and every other thing shall be given to you.
So that means the real movement that we take has to be for salvation.
Yes, I'm coming to that. Many came to Jesus for selfish reasons. Mm. Many follow him because they want healing. They want blessing. They want this. And they saw the miracle. They follow Jesus alone. Thousands follow him. In John chapter 6, 35,000 followed him. And Jesus turned and said to them, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
And they ran away, many of them.
That's the greatest test of faith. You follow me? They were following Jesus. And Jesus turned and said, Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. They say, this is hard. Who can understand this? What did they do? They turned their back and abandoned Jesus and left. Mm. That's the greatest test.
Because it's impossible to understand that statement without the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. But they followed Jesus for reasons known to them. Judah followed Jesus for reasons known to him. Mm. And when the test of faith came, he betrayed Jesus and followed his ways. But among all of them, some of them had a sense of destiny, understood the heart of God and the mind of God. We need to understand the heart and the mind of God. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. Mm. We are believers. If God gave us an assignment or a ministry in the gospel, everything is for salvation. Mean not to be served, but to serve others for salvation's sake. Mm. Anytime God gives you a mission in the gospel of Jesus, is to serve others, is to bless others, to take them to life, not to serve ourselves. Mm. And that is extremely important. Mm. That's why Jesus came to save soul. When the Samaritan stood, they say, Jesus will not enter here. James and John, what did they say? God, shall we call fire to consume them? Jesus said, get behind me. Luke chapter 9, 56.
Yeah, what kind of spirit is this?
I don't come to destroy people's life. Mm. I come to give life. That is Jesus for you. If Jesus gives you a gift, if Jesus calls you into ministry, his purpose is salvation of souls, heaven's sake. Where will he send you? He will send you to your enemies. He will send you to those who don't believe in Christ. That's the purpose of the church.
So what can stop us then from having a motive of salvation in what we do?
Understanding. Okay, let me give an example. We talk about Simon Peter. Mm. Peter followed Jesus, right? At Pentecost, the Spirit of God came. And Peter, we said last week in Acts chapter 10, God, the heart of God, is to save this man called Cornelius. Now, who was Cornelius? He was a Roman. They were the persecutor of Israel. They conquered their land by force.
Mm, we talked about that last week.
Yes. Mm. And Peter was reluctant to go because he sees them as enemies, as Gentiles. But God wanted him to go there. And we saw last week, Peter resisted. Why? Because he failed to understand the purpose of God. What was the purpose of God? To save Cornelius, not to destroy him. Mm-hmm. Later, he understood that God wants to save everybody and give the Holy Ghost to everybody.
That the reminds me of the prayer of Prophet T.B. Joshua, give me a greater understanding of your heart.
Thank you. Thank you. Once we understand that, now we begin to obey. Mm. Last week, we talked about this, the car. Am I right?
Mm.
Okay. Faith is my movement towards God, right? How do I receive faith? Faith comes from what?
Hearing the word of God.
The word. Which word of God?
The living word of God.
The living word of God.
In our heart.
In our heart. That's where faith starts.
Mm.
When the Holy Ghost opens our heart and we receive the fuel from heaven, the living word, faith begins to develop. But now, once we have the word, we need the Holy Ghost to bring life to the word, revelation to the word. That's what we talked about the ignition last time.
Mm.
That's where faith starts, by revelation. Faith demands revelation. God gave vision to Peter, and that vision was revelation of God's heart and God's mind. But Peter did not understand it. That's why he refused to go. Failing to understand the will of God may block you, because nobody would accept to obey to do what he does not understand. It's human beings. Our human mind resents what he does not understand. He cannot accept what he does not understand. He cannot obey what he does not understand. That's how carnally minded.
So that's how some of us can miss out on God's promise. We don't step out in real movement because of lack of understanding.
Absolutely.
And what causes lack of understanding?
Why? Because we are focused on ourselves. That's the selfish reason. Mm.
Mm.
That's why faith demands revelation of the heart and mind of God in the matter. If God reveals you are in a situation that is difficult, people are fighting you, and you see them in the flesh, you don't understand. But if God opens your eyes, that these people you are fighting today, tomorrow will become your best friend. The man who is persecuting you today, can be your best friend tomorrow. Don't reject anyone because of today. Tomorrow is mystery.
So that means that if we're focusing on ourselves too much, we can actually miss out on what God has for us, because we fail to realize that the principal character in our story is not us, but God.
God. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they missed the mark.
Mm.
They were focusing on themselves and their privileges and saw Jesus as an enemy.
And maintaining their privileged status. They saw Jesus as a threat.
Reason.
Yeah.
But Nicodemus, Joseph and Arimathaeus, and Simeon understood the purpose behind the veil, that this man is not an ordinary man.
Mm.
Some people believe that he is the Messiah and follow Jesus. Mm. Some people say, no, he's not a Messiah. John chapter 7, verse 12. He's a good man. Some say, no, he deceives people. The question is, if God gives you a vision for your personal life, you need to walk towards that vision.
No one else can do it for you.
Nobody. That's real movement. If you don't walk toward your vision, how will it be fulfilled?
Mm.
If God show you this is the place you should go, and you refuse to go, nothing will happen. God is waiting for you at the point of real movement to manifest his glory in your life. That is it.
Mm.
He chooses what to do, where to go. We choose how we go through it. Joseph saw his greatness, but he find himself in the dry pit. He find himself in the prison. Am I right? But the prison was a contact point to propel him to greatness.
Mm.
But because he was a spiritual man, he understood. And he never revenged to his brother because he understood the heart of God. Now, we talk about another example I want to use, Ananias. Maybe you can go read the book of Acts chapter 9. We talk about Saul. Ananias and Jesus, an example of real movement.
Acts chapter 9 from verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus called Ananias.
Mm.
And to him the Lord said in a vision,
mm-hmm.
Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.
Hmm.
Then Ananias answered, this is verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.
1 second. God gave him vision, right?
Hmm.
And said, go to the man called Saul. God said, go to the man that persecutes you, that persecutes everybody. I'm sending you to that man. Peter argued, hey, I've never touched anything impure, right? Ananias argued, this man is persecuting everybody.
I've heard so many things about him.
Imagine the offense and resentment against Saul. And that's where Jesus is sending him to go.
The stigma, the preconceived negative idea.
Exactly. Continue reading.
And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, verse 15, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine.
Oh my God.
To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.
God revealed to Ananias his purpose. For the first time, Ananias came to understand that this soul you see as an enemy will soon become his brother. That this man called Saul was too ignorant. Ignorance is our problem in life. When we ignore the mind of God, the heart of God, we refuse to obey because of ignorance. But Ananias understood the heart of Jesus. It was a dream and a vision. He understood. What happened next time? Next verse, what did he do?
Verse 16, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house.
He obeyed immediately and went to the house.
His hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
He called him Brother Saul. Before he was saying, this guy is a terrible person. In a dream, just in a vision, he understood the dream. He understood his vision, stop arguing and obey immediately in real moment. He went there. What happened?
Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and he received his sight at once and he arose and was baptized.
Means because he obeyed, Saul was saved and became Paul. This is the heart of God. Salvation. Ruth, what is the purpose of the gospel we preach? Salvation of souls. What is our purpose of being Christian? To pray for people who don't know Jesus to be saved. The church is the light. Being a believer doesn't mean people should be condemned, that destruction should come. You should pray for people to be saved.
It's not a club for a certain type of people and everyone else is rejected. It's actually for everyone. There's a call for everyone to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Do we accept that call?
Now to enter real movement, you must believe for salvation's sake. You must believe for heaven's sake. Everything God does, the aim is salvation. Miracles, blessings are not an end in themselves, just a mean. The end of all things is salvation of soul. Whatever God is sending you to do is to bring life and salvation. And that's the heart of God.
And in that way, we understand that the process of God is even more important than whatever we receive at the end anyway. Because it's on that process that God molds us and we actually discover who we are in Christ.
It's not only enough to know the truth. You must understand the truth. You must understand it. Once you understand something, your mind submits to it. Our mind is renewed to do the will of God at the point of understanding. So let me explain. First, the truth of the word of God enters our heart at the point of revelation. Everything about God demands revelation. But we may have revelation, we may not understand it. So if I do not understand the truth, how can I obey? I will not be able to do it. And that's where the work of Holy Ghost starts. He will bring the light of understanding to our mind. That's what he said. When the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter, go, I'm sending them. He obeyed because he recognized his voice. Ananias was really one of the sheep of Jesus. He recognized the voice of Jesus even in the dream and he obeyed. What happened? Miracle took place.
And because of the obedience of Ananias, Ananias is someone that we don't hear about again in the Bible, yet because of his obedience, Apostle Paul, you know, who God used to write so many of the letters that form the basis of our faith. So can you see the obedience of Ananias, what it led to?
The way of obedience is the way of blessings. The way of obedience is the way of salvation. Because Peter obeyed, the house of Cornelius was saved. Because Ananias obeyed, Saul was saved.
And became Paul.
And became Paul. Mm. Now, what about Moses? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Another case of real movement. God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush and revealed his glory to him.
Exodus chapter 3 from verse 6. Mm-hmm. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the mm-hmm. God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the mm-hmm. God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them.
Say it again, Davo. I have what?
Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Mean earth has no sorrow that heaven does not fear. If God sees somebody suffering, souls are crying to him, God will say, whom shall I send to these people? Someone is crying in his room, alone, isolated, because he has a situation. He's crying to God in tears. God will say, whom shall I send to this man? He will not send an angel. He wants to send somebody to preach the gospel. Without the word of God, nothing will happen. God does nothing without his word. That's why when the commandment of his word comes to a servant, you have to obey for God to intervene. Somebody somewhere is in desperate need of salvation, but God does nothing without his word. So God has to send somebody. Who is that somebody? Said Moses. He was focusing. Don't forget, Moses ran away from Egypt to save his life. Because Pharaoh was persecuting them. And God said to him, I'm going to send you to Egypt.
So you mean fear almost stopped Moses from the real movement of becoming the deliverer of the people of Israel?
Why are we afraid? We are afraid because we focus on ourselves. We measure ourselves by ourselves.
We look at our inadequacies and our limitations and our weaknesses.
That's what he said. Who am I, Lord, for you to send me? I don't know how to speak. That's what he said to God. He began to argue. Because he's focusing on Pharaoh, on the persecution. While God is focusing on the people he wants to save. The ability to heal is not man, it is God. Healing, deliverance, all of those gifts of the Spirit is God. It's not the man's work. Man cannot heal anybody. Man cannot deliver anybody. It's the work of Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It is not by power, not by might, by my Spirit.
It's not by power. It's never by might. By my Spirit, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This mountain has been removed in Jesus' name. This mountain has been removed in Jesus' name. This mountain has been removed.
By my Spirit.
By my Spirit, says
the greatest mountain you have is fear. Fear, fear, fear. Fear weakens our faith, our determination to obey God. Many refuse to obey because of fear. Moses was afraid. Fear gripped him. But God said to him, I will be with you. When he called Gideon, I'm the smallest of my family. God said, I will be with you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, I'm going to the Father, will give another comforter, the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't know him. But you know him. He dwells with you. He will be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John, a very important word, 16, verse 7, it is better for you I go to the Father. If I do not go, Holy Spirit will not come. Holy Spirit will only be given when Jesus is glorified. How? By dying at the cross and resurrection from the dead. If you believe, it's not the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples. So Christ's death and resurrection is a key, the foundation of our faith. That's why Jesus went to the cross to die for you and me, and he rose from the dead to conquer death. He told his disciple, John chapter 16
verse 7, mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you.
If I depart, he never died. If I go back to the Father. Why? Verse 12.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Mm-hmm. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, mm-hmm. he will guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
That's what Jesus said.
He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
Thank you. Now, when the time came for Jesus to fulfill the purpose God sent him to die for us, to shed his blood, to open a new covenant by his resurrection, that's what his purpose taught everybody, to bring salvation. For salvation to come, you must believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must believe his resurrection from the dead. It's fundamental to our faith. But the disciples pretend to understand until Jesus went to the cross and was crucified. Next day, what happened? They say, oh, let's go back to our fishing. Everybody pack his load and go for fishing. And we all know what happened in Luke chapter 24 with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Mm. They were deprived of all hope, bereft of all hope, and going back to their former life. And Jesus appeared and disguised and said, hey, what's happened to you? So we don't know nothing. You know what happened today?
Yeah, so we thought he was the Messiah, but then, you know, they killed him, meaning that they didn't understand the words of Jesus.
You have said it all. They did not. You can never believe if you do not understand. Belief demands understanding, spiritual understanding, to be real. We don't believe with our head intellectually, we believe with our heart. And that's the key. Many of them heard the word, but they never believed really what it means. When Jesus went to the cross and was buried, they say the end has come. And they left. They never understood what the resurrection really means. Now, Jesus appeared to two women at the tomb, and the women came, ran, and knocked at the door. Hey, we have seen him. They say, what are you saying? They all rebuked the woman. They say, what are you saying? No, John and Peter ran and came and found the tomb empty. But still, they did not believe. Something was lacking. For them, it was strange. Until Jesus talked to the two disciples, entered their house and began to eat, and Jesus disappeared. And Jesus said, oh, men whose hearts are slow to believe. Why are we slow to believe? Because we lack understanding.
Does fear also cause a lack of understanding?
Fear brings misunderstanding because fear is darkness.
And brings doubt.
Absolutely.
Because even if we want to understand, and maybe we're ready to understand, the fear can just bring doubt instantly. If we begin to believe God's word and want to act on it, fear can take us backwards.
Okay. Jesus said to them before he went to the cross, tarry in Jerusalem. I will send you the promise of the Father. Oh my God. That's the purpose Jesus came on earth, to die, to resurrect. We will believe in him, you receive Holy Spirit. That's the promise of Abraham. That's the greatest promise of the Bible. Tarry in Jerusalem, I will send you the promise of the Father. He said to them, you will receive power. He promised them. But immediately after, they forget and went back fishing.
So in that case, real movement meant to wait.
Tarry until understanding comes. No, wait. When revelation comes, you tarry till you have understanding of it. If you don't understand, you cannot move on. Meaning, if you have a revelation you do not understand, don't abandon it. Continue, stay in faith, tarry, and pray until greater light comes, understanding comes. And then you will know the purpose and move into faith. That's why Holy Ghost will come and help you. If you are reading your Bible and there are sections you do not understand, don't give up. Continue meditating and praying. When Simon Peter did not understand the meaning of the impure animals, he continued to ponder on it. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. He was meditating because he didn't understand. When God sees that you want to understand for salvation's sake, Holy Ghost will come immediately. You must believe for salvation's sake. You must read for salvation's sake, and Holy Ghost will come immediately give understanding. That's the key. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah. He wanted to understand something was difficult for him. Immediately God saw that this man really wants to understand what salvation means. Holy Spirit came immediately. The man was saved at the end. So now, when Jesus saw they didn't understand, go to Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Jesus did something that is vital for us to understand when we're talking about real movement.
Luke 24, verse 45.
You could even start by 44 when we land on 45. Go ahead.
Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me."
Mm-hmm.
And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures.
He opened the understanding they might comprehend the scriptures. That is the key of real movement. When Jesus opened their understanding and they began to understand the scriptures, only then they went back to the upper room and waited in faith till the Holy Ghost came. They were about to leave everything. But when you understand the purpose of thing of God, you will wait. If God give you a dream and you understand your dream, oh my God, nothing should shake you.
Don't let fear
till it come to pass.
Don't let fear rob you of the promise of God for your life.
Absolutely. They waited and they understood, and the promise of the Father came at Pentecost and their life changed forever. What happened? They spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth and everybody was saved. Fear never stopped them anymore.
God used those imperfect people, those simple people who said yes to the call of Jesus. And despite mistakes, weaknesses, misunderstanding, yet God used them to spread the truth to the four corners of the earth. And that gives hope for you and me today. If God can use the disciples, he can use anyone, he can use us. But we have to use the help of the helper. The question is, do we realize how much help the Holy Spirit is? Have we received little or if any help from him?
Now the question, to answer your question, what is now the benefit of understanding in real movement? When I understand, immediately my mind is renewed. Now I understand what God wanted to say. And I drop my wrong mindset and embrace God's way. Because I understand, then I am willing mind to obey.
And that's the key.
That's the real mind.
Because you can't step out on real movement if you're not willing to do so. It can't be because someone else says it's a good idea, or because you're following the steps of someone else or the example of someone else and you think maybe it might work out. You have to be convinced in your own mind. You have to be willing. That willingness has to be there. And I like how you explained how the willingness comes by the renewing of our mind.
Absolutely.
Our mind is renewed and then we are willing to step out because we know that, oh yes, God has a good plan for me. It's to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. So that's why I'm going to obey God.
I'm going to
surrender to his
Thank
will.
Thank you. Our mind is renewed at the point of understanding, right? At the point of understanding, so my will is ready to submit to God's will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, let your will be done. And he submitted to the will of God. When the Spirit of God spoke to Peter, he understood the vision. Only at the point of understanding, Peter made the connection between the impure animal and the Gentiles. And God wanted to save them. So at the point of understanding, your conscience and your mind agree. Your heart and your understanding agree. When you agree now, you say, this is true. It's true for me. Now I can practice it. I can obey it. Conviction come. So you must have revelation. When you said ignite the engine, the fire of revelation will come to your conscience. But do your mind understand what the vision means? That's why I say next step was, can we see our pictures? Can we go back?
Sorry, I just have to say, someone said I use Google for understanding, but thanks for the teaching.
Thank you. Now, Google, there's no process. That's what I will say to everybody. If you read your Bible, I'm telling you, I've nothing against Google, but the process of understanding, stay in the Bible, meditate till the Holy Ghost reveal to your heart the meaning of the word. That's the process. Faith demands revelation, and revelation, understanding, conviction, and real movement. That's the processing of God. But today, we don't want processing. You mentioned Google, we want to go to result directly. How will you apply something in your personal life you don't understand? That's the question. for you to apply something, you must understand it.
And that understanding has to be an inwardly revealed truth.
Absolutely.
It has to be understood on the inside. How does that quote go, that conviction brings real movement? How does it?
Meditation brings revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation brings conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Conviction brings real movement. And real movement, power of God come. If I break it.
Mm.
Meditation, to know the will of God, to understand. That's why I meditate.
So, okay, let's write that down. Step one, meditation on the word of God brings revelation.
When revelation comes, you continue to meditate to understand that revelation.
And that's when conviction comes.
That is it.
When revelation brings conviction.
You see, okay, you say, oh, Jesus is Lord. Huh? It's true. Conviction. Is it true for me?
Mm.
That's conviction. Oh, I want to accept my Savior.
Mm.
So, revelation must come first, your dream. Second, Holy Ghost will guide you into the understanding of the truth hidden in that dream.
Mm.
Once you understand the God's heart and mind, the message, will of God in that matter, that will now will change your mind. You say, oh, this is what God wants. This is the truth. Is it true for me? Yes, Jesus is Lord. I confess. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord. That's conviction.
That conviction will now bring real movement.
It's understanding that brings conviction. Mm. Understanding means you must have a reason to believe.
Mm.
Understanding gives you the reason to believe, the reason to obey.
Mm.
If an instruction doesn't make sense, you will not obey it. But if you see a reason through understanding, then yeah, I understand what you mean. Oh, now I understand. I will do it. So understanding gives you the reason to believe and take you to the point of conviction that yes, this is true. And that forms belief. Mean revelation, understanding, conviction, that is belief.
Mm.
All this happens inside of your heart. I have revelation in my heart, understanding in my heart, belief in my heart. Everything is inside.
Exactly. And I think that's the key that we need to understand in this world that we live in, which is so focused on the outside and is so focused on receiving things instantly without any process, like you mentioned. What is inside of you will remain forever. What is inside of you cannot be taken away by difficult circumstances or anything that happens to you, because it's inside of you, it's a part of you. But if it's just on the outside, if it's something we hear in one ear and it goes out the other, even if we study, we read something, we can forget it. But something we understand inside of us is a part of us.
It's not the outside that affects the inside. It's inside that affects outside when it comes to faith.
Mm.
It is what is in your heart that comes out. Mm. Can you go to Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31? I want to explain something. So we understand the difference between what happened inside and what happened outside. And now we know what the real movement really means. Because at the point of, I can't believe that Jesus is Lord, but nobody knows.
Mm.
It's only I'm the only person that knows. Until I open my mouth, say, yes, I confess Jesus. Yes, and you will know. And that is faith. What is inside of me is conviction, an opinion formed in my heart called belief. It is inside of me. But if when I confess it with my mouth, salvation come. So the Bible say, you believe with the heart that Jesus is Lord. You confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord. That is real movement. You open your mouth and confess Jesus. Act faith on the outside. And the power of God come and salvation come. Okay? Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah, after Psalm.
Yeah, I'm looking for Isaiah.
After Psalm.
Okay, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
37, verse 31.
Isaiah 37, verse
31. Mm-hmm.
And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward.
Take root?
Downward.
Downward. Take root inward. I mean, the root of a tree of faith is inside your heart.
Mm.
That's the meaning. When the faith grows, it grows inside of you.
Mm.
When you plant a seed, the tree will grow inside the ground. When it bear root, and that is belief, that is conviction. Nobody can see in the outside that there's something growing at the point of belief. Until it begins to shoot out, the stem could come out of the earth. We see, hey, something is growing there on the outside. That is where faith is. Belief is on the inside. Faith is on the outside.
And that's why we can remain steady when everything else seems to be unsteady, because True. Of the root.
I'm coming to that. So you can believe something. How do I know if you believe? Unless you act faith.
And that's the fruit, isn't it?
And that's where faith is expressed on the outside. Peter, nobody knew the dream. Nobody knew what the Holy Ghost said. And he said, let's go to Cornelius. And everybody fought him. They say, why do you go to the house of Cornelius? They fought him in Act 11. He has to explain. So real movement means your spirit, your heart act on the word revealed to you inside of your heart. And when you move on the outside, you move this body. We told you the other day, the conscience cannot move this body without the cooperation of the mind. My mind, this mind, the brain, command my hands. I want to move. I see this cup. Oh, I grab it and I show it because I'm seeing. Is this mind, this brain that command all the movement of my body? This brain, we told last time, is like the gear of the car. So I may have revelation. My mind is the realm of my understanding. If I don't understand here, I will not do anything. But if I understand and my mind agree what is in my heart, then belief is formed, conviction is formed, and I'm ready to obey it. When Ananias understood that God wanted to save Paul and the wolf is going to become a lamb, not an enemy, a friend, he went. Remember Jacob ran away from his brother Esau because he was afraid of death in Genesis chapter 28. But when God revealed to him the truth, he went back to Esau. He was afraid. But Esau hugged him and embraced him. And all his fear was nothing. That's how we are. We are afraid of so many things in our life.
That never happened
to us. That never happened to you. How many times will fear stop you? Let's go for business. I'm not going here. This guy is bankrupt. I don't want this. Let's go in the house. Will I be able to do this? Fear, 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 and doubt will rob you of opportunities. That's why you need to know the mind of God. If God tells me, do this, and you understand, nothing can stop you. When God gave us the vision of the eulogy, it was difficult to understand. But when understanding came, I say, ha, this is what God wants. You walk toward it.
And it didn't make sense naturally, you know, just...
That is it.
Just the two of us, you know... We didn't have anything, and many people were expecting and wanting something different of the outcome.
So,
but what God wants is always best.
If God gives you a vision, and that vision is challenged by situation or by man, or you don't understand it, don't drop that vision. Stay in that vision. Meditate and ask till God reveal you his will behind the matter. When they get to the point of understanding, that was the first ingredient of faith, is understanding. The first step of faith is understanding in your heart. Mean the word of God settles in your heart, in your mind at the point of understanding, and it settles in your heart to form belief at the point of conviction. That's why the Bible says, Romans chapter 14, you must know the truth by revelation. You must understand it. You must be convinced in your heart about it, and then you obey real movement. Now, let's go back to our... You see, as I say, you must grow...
Downward and bear fruit upward.
Now, I mean the fruit are outside. You will know them by the fruit.
So that's the real movement.
That is real movement. Okay, if I say, the Bible says, Paul said, the foundation of Christian faith, Romans chapter 10, verse 6. He said, do not say who will go to heaven, that's to bring Jesus. Do not say who will go to the abyss, that's to bring Jesus from the dead. You say, the word we preach is in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith. Mean, the word in my heart has formed belief. And in my mouth, faith is expressed. So mean faith, there's inspiration, revelation to bring belief. And there's expression. Faith is an expression. You have to speak it out. So now, let's go back to the vehicle. And this will help me to explain what real movement expression really means. Let's go back to it.
Which picture you want?
Let's go to verse 8. To 8. I think it's 8.
That's where real movement, the person's walking, yeah. I think. Okay, 8.
Oh, let's come back to 6. I want to do a
6.
A little summary, because people can get me. Let's do a little summary. Now, this is number 6. Number 6 is ignite. Mean? Your conscience, this is the fire of revelation, a dream, a vision, or the word of God speaking to you. That's the dream of Ananias. When the Holy Ghost set the fire of revelation, the contact point is your conscience. Your conscience is the part of you that receives revelation from God. It's God's instrument to discern spiritual things. So when Jesus was spoken to them, their heart was burning. I mean, their conscience was burning because the word was entering their heart. When the Holy Ghost brings revelation, your heart begins to burn. Your conscience is burning because Holy Spirit brings revelation to your heart. That's the first step here. Now, when the Holy Ghost gives you revelation, point six, what do you do with it? Number seven. This is, I call the gear. We explained last time that the fact that the engine starts doesn't mean the vehicle is moving. Anybody can press the button, but who knows how to call it? We say manejar in Spanish, or drive a vehicle. If you don't know how a vehicle functions, how can you drive it? That is the question. If you don't know the link between the engine and the wheels, how will the vehicle move? We know that when the engine is ignited and start running, when you meditate, fire on, in your heart, revelation come. Meditation brings what? Revelation is a point number six. When revelation come, what will I do? What will I do with this revelation? God said, go to this house and preach the gospel to the person. This gear is very important. That's your mind. Because the gear is what moves the car. Because when you put the gear, the transmission comes into contact with the engine and the car starts moving, right? You're turning. So this mind, my mind controls my body. I may have revelation in my heart, but if my mind does not understand, I will not move my body. I will stay where I am. That's what happened to Peter until Holy Ghost spoke to him directly and he stood and go and went. Ananias understood and immediately set in motion. We say set in motion. We set our faith in motion. That is this one. So if I want to start my vehicle, what I do, I know that the transmission must transfer the power from the engine to the wheels. And that's the purpose of this gear. What do? I press my clutch. You know how to drive. Huh? Your left foot, press your clutch. Huh, Ruth? I will not ask a question. Now, do you have your driving license? you press the clutch and then use your hand and engage the speed. You all know. Now you engage the first gear, but the car is still motionless. Why? Because by pressing the clutch, you separate the engine from the transmission. What do you do next to move the car? Your left foot is on the clutch, right? I'm talking about manual. Your right foot is on the gas, on the accelerator.
Yeah, the biting point.
When you press, as you are pressing the accelerator, you are releasing the clutch. Now, when you release the clutch, you are putting the transmission into contact with the engine. And the vehicle starts moving. But don't forget, you are still on the handbrake, right? You have to release the handbrake. Now you can see this gear, when understanding comes, is conviction. I know this car to move and understand how it works. I have to do my part. What is my part? In clutch, first gear, and gas. That's my role. And because I believe that if I do this, the car will move, I act a faith by engaging the first gear. And I release the clutch and I release the brake and push the pedal and the car move. Now, remember what prophet you say. There is power in your mouth.
The belief in your heart
is released by faith out of your mouth. So the power in your heart is the revelation that is in your heart. The conviction is there. The belief is there. But that belief is dormant until it is released on the outside by the mouth. Your mouth is the accelerator. Let's go to number eight. Number eight, you see, you press the gas. You release the gas here. When you press it, the energy comes and the car begins to accelerate to move. So, mean the energy that is inside the engine, the horsepower of the engine is transmitted to the wheel when you press the accelerator. Am I right? And the vehicle said, move, first gear, second gear, first, and you obey the instruction of the Holy Spirit. This is what we call real movement.
So, what's number nine?
Now, real movement means number nine is what? Holy Ghost comes.
You're on the road.
Because you obey, Holy Ghost comes and begins to drive the car.
Holy Spirit is driving.
Yes. Real movement, the power of God comes in. Holy Ghost comes in. Healing takes place. Now, if I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Lord, He died for me and resurrected, I believe. And the Holy Ghost led me as He led the Ethiopian eunuch to understand salvation. What next the man did? Oh, I want to be baptized. That's real movement. The man asked to be baptized when he understood. When he was reading the book of Isaiah, he never understood. Holy Ghost saw this man wanted to know salvation. And whom I sent to this man? He raptured Philip and sent him there. Go to Gaza. When Philip came closer, he listened to the man. He said, do you understand what you are reading? That's the first question. The man said, how will I understand unless somebody help me? Work of Holy Spirit. When Philip began to explain the work of Jesus, because faith must believe in Jesus. Once he understood why Jesus died at the cross, because we're reading Isaiah 53, why he rose again from the dead, the man said, what can stop me to be baptized? He said, it is possible if you believe. The man said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He expressed on the outside by confessing real movement. And then he dipped him inside the water. Holy Ghost came, he became saved. So now, we can see that faith is not intellectual agreement. Faith requires for you to do something on the outside. You have to obey. You have to move. If God say, go and preach the gospel, some people understood the message, but they don't move. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen until you move. God's power will meet you at the point of real movement.
So that means that even though God is all powerful, we are the ones that restrict His power when we fail to step out in real movement.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what many people don't understand.
There are so many people who say, go and apply for a job. But they don't do nothing. They want the job to come from them. When I say, if you believe, go and apply. Tell me, we pray. These people believe and they apply. That's real movement. Real movement means, I go and knock on the door for a job. I refuse to be afraid. Oh, I don't have a job. Please, God will give me a job. In the name of Jesus, I apply. Send my request. That's real movement. You have to do something on the outside. That's a genuine willingness, and the Holy Ghost will meet you at the point of real movement. David, Goliath. The power of God never came when Goliath was shouting, when he was confessing. It was when David ran towards Goliath, real movement. Then the Holy Ghost came on the battlefield. Now we talk about God's power. God's power will meet you at the point of real movement. There is something to say you believe, but faith is a practical demonstration of belief. If somebody say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and he expressed the belief in his heart, and confess with his mouth, salvation come, real movement come, Holy Spirit comes, truth comes. So we are reading the Bible intellectually. That is not belief. That's here in the mind. But you must meditate until you understand the real meaning of this Bible, words of life in your heart.
Yeah, because people are still talking about using, you know, different, I don't know, AI or the internet to understand the word of God.
You can I'm going to be very straight. I have nothing against the means of AI or computer. I use computer. But remember, there is no shortcut to spiritual maturity. Instead of reading your Bible to understand the processing, you read AI. AI will give you the result. That is not faith. Faith is a process. We call it the process of believing. The process of believing, you yourself, you must know the truth. The fact that I have a revelation doesn't mean I can communicate to you. You must have your own revelation. AI will never give you. You must find out the truth by yourself.
Because you can intellectually understand something, but you might not be spiritually understood in your heart.
When you plant it in your brain, it's zero. It must enter your heart. AI will never put the word in your heart. Meditation in the word of God brings the word in your heart, and that is what is lacking.
And the Holy Spirit can only bring to your remembrance something that's already in your heart.
That is the word in your heart that we use, the sword of the Spirit.
If it's not in your heart, if it's in your mind, the Holy Spirit won't find the word to act on. And the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring peace, to bring joy, to bring understanding, to bring help to our hearts. But if there's no word of God there in our heart, there's no instrument for the Holy Spirit to act on. If it's only lodged in our mind, in our brain, in our memory, our intellectual understanding, then where's the instrument for the Holy Spirit to use?
Don't forget the law of God. God say sowing and reaping. You can never harvest where there's no seed planted.
Mm.
And the harvest, the plantation is your heart, not your brain. Mm. This is just the word. This is the book. Whether it's by AI or by internet, or you read this, it's just a word. But this word is meaningless until it becomes spirit in your heart. And that's meditation.
That's the conversion room. If you haven't watched our message about go and watch it.
And now, everybody's talking about Google or AI. I remind you the parable of the sower. Jesus said, when you preach, we are planting a seed in your heart, not in your brain. Sense knowledge ceases when revelation comes, we say, right?
Mm.
Revelation is in your heart, is in your spirit, in your conscience. Now, when the seed is planted in your heart, Matthew 13, verse 19, and you don't understand it, the wicked one will snatch it from your heart. That's when the understanding is the first ingredient of faith.
Mm.
And this means processing of faith, you must know the truth. You must be convinced in your own mind that this is true. Whether it comes from any other source, you must be convinced yourself in your heart that this is true.
Mm.
That's why it's not bad to read the word. When you read it, meditate and ask yourself, is it true for me?
Mm.
When it is true for you and you act on it, then belief will come. So whatever is on the outside is just a seed. But the Holy Ghost will turn the seed to fire in your spirit, in your heart, when you meditate in the word. So that's my question to that. So now today, when you want to preach a message, AI can give you a message. I'm nothing, but the message comes from your heart. What we are sharing with you, it came from our heart, from the revelation God gave us in our heart. We stand till God bring all these things and we share with you. Listen to me. Jesus has said the parable of the sower. The seed can be planted on the wayside.
Mm.
Whatever enter your brain knowledge is on the wayside. Because faith is not your brain. It's in your heart.
Mm.
When the seed fall into the good ground of your heart and you believe for salvation's sake, your heart becomes fertile. The Holy Ghost will come. There will be root in your heart. And the root will bring faith. When you believe what is in your heart and confess it with your mouth, salvation comes. This is what we call real belief. Believing with the heart, your spirit, not with your brain, and confessing with your mouth what is in your heart, salvation comes. Now, this will lead you to how to pray effectively. Because when you have a situation, you have to ask God by meditating until God gives you a revelation on that situation. It can be a verse, a Bible verse. When you meditate on it, God will speak to you through the Bible that this is my mind on the matter. Fear not. I'm in control. I allow this for a purpose. The moment you understand it, your mind is renewed, you stop getting fear afraid and you have peace. Your heart and your mind is in peace. And now when you obey for salvation's sake, hallelujah, God's power will come. You will see the result. When you apply, led by the Spirit of God, they will receive you favorably. Why? Because the hand of God is behind your faith to back it up by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never back you up until you step into faith in real movement. That's where you meet God. Amen.
Amen.
So, you can see you have a role to play. Your role is whether you read the Bible, the book, or whichever mean, meditate on the word of God in your heart. That's what brings revelation. When you meditate, Holy Ghost will come and put fire in your heart, ignition, and the engine of faith start rattling in your heart. When you meditate, Holy Ghost will say, go there. And you understand what God wants you to do. And you step into that direction and you'll see God.
That is real movement.
That's real movement. Ananias, go to the house of Judah.
Mm.
You will meet a bondmaid's Paul. When he moves in act of faith, things happen the way he said. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, go to this town. You enter this house. You will see a man. You will see a donkey. Bring it to me. They went and see things the way Jesus said it. Real movement. Oh, the way of obedience is the way of blessing.
Amen. So don't allow fear, don't allow ignorance to stop you from stepping out in real movement. Once that conviction grows in your heart, nothing will stop you. And don't expect everyone to agree with you on the outside, because remember, it's an inwardly received truth that you've received. And if no one else understands the vision that God has given you, but if it's truly from God, you step out in the direction and God will give you the energy to maintain that distance.
You mentioned inwardly received truth, meaning the truth must come in your heart, revealed by the Holy Ghost. We call it inspiration. The truth settles in your heart at the point of conviction when you receive inspiration in your heart. And when you act on it, you will see God. So please apply this and your prayer life will change forever. That's why sometimes people can just, the Bible says it is, and you confess it. Nothing will happen, because that comes from your mouth and your brain. It has to come from the heart to bear fruit. The sword of the Spirit is the word in your heart the Holy Ghost will use to apply.
That's why the enemy is not afraid of our voice, but afraid of the word of God in our heart.
Amen. Please store the word. It's only in your heart that the word of God works effectively. You become the sword of the Spirit. And when you believe in your heart and you say it, you will see God. Amen.
Amen. So we can't wait to hear your testimony of real movement for what God is doing in your life. And we believe that this message has helped you to overcome those obstacles. Because like we said at the beginning, you can have the car, but maybe you're not able to drive it, or you're not actually moving where God wants you to go because of these different obstacles. And what are those obstacles? Fear, ignorance, lack of understanding. And also remember, selfish motive. That was a big obstacle that we talked about at the beginning. The motive has to be the salvation of your soul.
That's the conclusion of the matter. What we are here for? We are here for Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What are we praying for? Jesus Christ, salvation, eternal life. You must know who Jesus is. Why Jesus came on earth. What he has done for you. You must discover whom you are. Your need for salvation. Once you understand your need for salvation, then you will act in real faith and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you will follow Jesus in real movement in your life. And you will see Holy Spirit in your life. Your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That is actually real movement, following the footsteps of Jesus.
That is it.
Thank you. Because remember, Jesus is always going somewhere. To follow him, you have to follow his footsteps. And that is real movement.
That's why faith is our movement towards God. Faith is our movement towards the kingdom of God. Faith is our movement towards Jesus. So there is power in your mouth. The belief in your heart is released by faith out of your mouth. And God's power comes to bring salvation, eternal life.
Amen.